Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Failed to Fail Motivational Part-Time Podcast. This is one of my special project podcasts I do in between my other two podcasts whenever I find someone interesting, someone I feel has found success or will find or currently on the trajectory of finding success in hobbies, jobs, different areas of the life that have a high failure rate, or perhaps they found success in their own way. And I first became familiar with this gentleman through someone else's TikTok, not even anybody I follow, just because of the algorithm, how things work. You know, I was heavy into my running training through pandemic and doing my savage races and my other OCRs and this and that. And I came across a TikTok of a gentleman who was, I think, in Central Park, and he was looking for somebody in a run group that he could help train for the New York City Marathon. And I believe he came across you. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. His name was Rob, and he had up this random sign, and it said, wave if you're running the New York City Marathon. And it's funny because after I like pulled over and talked to him, he was like, dude, I was out here for like an hour and a half. Nobody was stopping.
And that person is Mr. Shaquille Roberts. Shaquille, how you doing tonight, fella?
I'm good. Happy to be here. Can't wait.
How did that change things for you? I mean, as he said, he's been out there for an hour. You know, we have listeners all around the globe and the world, but depending on where you live, some people are open to strangers talking to them. Some people, some areas of the world aren't. And clearly, that day, Central Park, with all the people running around, that poor guy sat out in the hot sun for an hour. What is it about you and your personality? He said, you know what? I'll take him up on this.
I am just like a go-getter when it comes to things, and something in me was just like, yo, let's just see what he has to say. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Even in the video he stopped me, I kind of was like, oh, it's an easy run, right? Where it's not like a tempo workout or something where I'm like, yo, I got to keep going. I can't stop. So I was just like, what is there to lose? Like literally like probably 5 minutes, 10 minutes of my time. And I was just basically like, let me hear what he has to say. Like I'm open to all thoughts and ideas because I was cramping up during my marathons. So I needed nutritional help for sure.
I was going to get to that here shortly. So prior to you engaging with him or him engaging with you, the two of you getting together, where were you at in your running journey? I guess let's roll back a little bit for our audience. Where did you grow up, and when did running become a thing for you? Because some people dibble dabble. Maybe their parents made them try out for a sport, and that was one thing they're good at. How did running become part of your life?
Right. So I'll say, honestly, I was born in St. Kitts, and when you're born in the Caribbean, like track and field is like pretty like big. Like it's going to be one of the first sports you play. So I eventually moved on from that when I moved to America, because in America, track and field wasn't that popular at the time. This was like probably like 2005. And like the only popular sports was like football, basketball, baseball. But like even baseball and football, they were a little expensive because, you know, you got to buy the equipment, you got to buy bats, you got to buy gloves and things like that. Basketball, you only really need a ball and a hoop.
And a decent pair of shoes helps.
Yeah. And so I ended up picking basketball, and I like really did that throughout middle school, throughout high school, and a little bit of college. But I wasn't running at all those years. Like,
well, strictly. Don't say you weren't running, because
yeah,
the sideline people who, you know, just go out and every once in a while throw from the free throw line or play half court basketball, full court basketball. And being 6'5", I've disappointed everybody in my family I've ever played because I'm horrible at it. And in gym, they'd say, you just stand under the backboard and get the rebounds. So I never played, but I am smart enough to know that that is a huge cardio impact. And I'm sure all those years of running up and down the court probably carried over into your cardio and your ability to sustain long distance running as you got into that hobby, right?
Oh, yes, for sure. There's that's why when even training for my first marathon, I told my coach I want to run sub 3. And he's like, you're crazy. Like, no one ever runs sub 3 on their first go around. But I'm like, I'm already fit. Like, I'm already athletic. And later I came to find out that, yeah, a marathon is a different beast.
So when you met him, what was your – sorry, my mouse is dying here. What was your training program prior to you meeting him at the, in Central Park?
It was like a regular 18 to 16 week training program where you probably start out with like 30 miles and probably get up to 60 miles a week. And then you got a rest day and you got a track day, and you just basically modify them as much as you need to. So my issue really wasn't the exercises I was doing. My issue was the fueling. My issue was how much am I, how much sweat I'm sweating, how much salt I'm losing, my recovery as well. This is one thing I want to make very important on this podcast. Recovery is part of the workout. Like, I know you think like you're just going to do the workout and then, yeah, I'm done. No, recovery is part of it because you want to make sure you're as close as to 100% when you work out again. You don't want to work out today and then be at 60%, and then the next workout you're like at 70. Then you don't get the full benefit of the workout. So you want to work out. After you work out, recover, foam roll, stretch.
And that's so hard for runners because it's, let's face it, we don't run because we enjoy running. Running sucks. We run because we enjoy the feeling we have after we run. And so in order to get to the point where you're running 3, 4, 5 times a week, it takes a lot of mental willpower and forcing yourself to do it. And as anybody knows, it takes 21 days to either make a habit or break a habit. And so sometimes you get on that roll where you're wanting to run every day and you got to tell yourself, slow down, fella. You're going to hurt yourself, you know? And so it's hard to do. I often said, what's the first thing a runner says when he gets hit by a car? Shit, I won't be able to run tomorrow. And that's the truth, because once you get in that mindset, that's all you care about. It's like, and you have to recover. And a lot of people who maybe they're doing this for a weight loss thing, right? Or maybe they went to the gym and like I did. When I was 35, I'm going to turn 46 now. When I was 35, 36, I was working two jobs. I was working as a computer technician. I worked as a producer of an afternoon radio show. And then sometimes after the show ended at 6, I'd go back to work. So I was drinking like 8 or 9 Mountain Dews a day, 5-hour energy drink, 3 Monster Whites. And I literally, and I was playing Xbox on the weekend. My wife and I are playing Call of Duty all the time. And from the age of nothing to 32, I was 6'5", weighed $175, $180. I literally looked like a heroin addict. But after all those years of sitting on my ass, because I just always had a fast metabolism, I could eat whatever I wanted. I skateboarded daily from second grade until I was 21. I snowboarded for 13 years. So I had other ways to burn calories, and then all that stopped. I got older. My metabolism slowed down. The Xbox came in and these ass jobs. Next thing I knew, I had 2 kidney stones and was looking down the barrel of 240 pounds. And the kidney stones was what did it. I dropped my soda cold turkey. I stopped eating fast food. I'd go to lunch and go to Publix and get shredded lunch meat and cheese, just shred it up, eat it in a bag with a pickle, greatly reduced. Start going to the gym twice a day, getting up morning. I was hitting it. I lost about 30 pounds, but then I injured myself in the gym. I hurt my elbow, and I just messed myself up. And I got to talk to somebody, like, try running. Actually, running's better than going to the gym. Gyms build muscle. You actually lose weight. And so in order to minimize my fear of gaining the weight back, I started running, and that person was right. The weight started falling off. I started running more. And then I actually had to get to the point where I had to remind myself, hey, as you were saying, you can't run every day. You need to recover. But there's also the importance of cross training. Where do you sit at a cross training? Are you strictly a runner? Do you fit gym in twice a week? How do you
maintain that? I definitely cross train. And I also play different sports as well. I still play basketball. I work out, I want to say I weightlift about twice a week, but I'm always doing something in terms of like increasing my muscle strength, like isos, which you really don't need weights for. You can just hold a lunge for about 30, 45 seconds. Trust me, you think it's nothing, but it's going to start burning. I use bands as well, like certain bands. I put them around my ankles, just extend them and like try to keep my muscles active. Even though I'm not weightlifting, I'm still strengthening them in some type of way, because you need that.
Have you tooled around with yoga at all?
I have not.
Yoga can be a touchy subject, depending on, you know, the dude you're talking to. It comes some old yoga tight pants building, but I'll tell you what. When I was going to the gym all the time, I'm a computer guy. I got a hold of a bootleg copy of P90X. You know what I'm saying? So I had this bootleg copy of P90X, and I had it on a laptop. And because with my computer company, we would do trade shows from time to time, I had this projector. So I'd set this thing up in my garage in hot ass Florida, 90 degrees outside means it's 110 in my garage. And the projector's making the room hotter because it was old school, not the LED. But I had a 6 foot tall image of P90X on my wall. So it was like being in a class. And so I would do that P90X as well. But part of that was the P90X stretch. And it was a mix between Pilates and yoga. And I started doing that. And I will tell you, try it. Just one day, pull up. You can go on YouTube right now and find entry. Dude, just do the basic stuff. Just the bends, Warrior 1, Warrior 2, Upper Dog. It stretches your quads. Like, that's why you ever show up at 10K and, like, you got the weird people over there by the stage doing a – they have, like, a yoga class going on. It actually helps. So if you find, especially on one of your recovery days, your quads are a little tight, or maybe you get that little twinge in your back, or maybe your shoulders, you know, because huffing that water – you know, well, you run a wear a hydro vest now. But, you know, your shoulders and your arms do get tired from that constant movement. Try some basic entry-level yoga. You'll be surprised on how – that stretching on your off days will actually help your run, and it'll go. And plus, as you get older, it'll help you maintain the ability to run. So,
oh yeah, for sure. I've like been telling myself, like, Shaq, you need to try this thing, because like it's like I've been getting tighter and tighter as the years go on, and it's like the regular stretching before running is, you need more than that.
I'm about to blow your mind. You ready for this?
You got the stats for me?
Achilles Hope Impossibility. Was that one of your first races that you ran?
Oh, no. So that was that the 5K or the
4K? That's June 26, 2022. Your run time was 30 minutes and 20 seconds. So yes, it was a 5K. Yeah.
Yes.
Look at you, Mr. I'm running 8:29 like training paces on TikTok, and then you're going to lay down 7:35s. How are you running? You're a young cat. I think at my prime, I didn't start running until I was in my 30s. Despite being in high school, my English teacher wanted me to run, but I was too busy skateboarding and snowboarding. I didn't want to be one of those cats. I think at my prime at 36, my fastest pace ever was on an exercise run. I think I hit 7:20. You ran a 7:35 in your first registered race.
That was my first ever race. Interestingly enough, I started running like literally 2 months before that. And I was like, I need to see what it feels like to actually race, because I was getting that itch. I'm like, I've been running for 2 months now. Like, I need to see what's the big hype about. So I just put myself randomly into that race. And honestly, I really tried my best. I was like, all right, let me put a good step forward. But I'm shocked you looked that up.
I'm disappointed in you. I'm going to tell you how I know all your stats, and I'm disappointed in you that you ain't claimed these.
Right now, I would dust him, no.
Your first race, only running 2 months. You finished 636 out of 3,513 people on your first 5K, doing it on a, let's see what happens, fellas. Like, that is tremendous for your first race, even at your age. I mean, and once again, you're not running in, like, where I live in Cape Coral, Florida, or, you know, Grass Lakes, Iowa. You're in effing New York City, where there are clearly there's 3,513 people running in this particular little 5K. To finish 636 in your first race, that is great. That is such a good job.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And then you followed that up. You got the bug, right? I always tell people when they run their first race, I say, you know what's going to happen? You're going to finish that shit, and 2 hours later, you're going to be on the internet looking for your next race to register
you
for.
You are going to go broke looking at these races.
So you went from a 5K. See, I at least went 5K, 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 10K, and then I started doing Savage races in 2019. I did one of them, and then 2020 came. Pandemic happened. They canceled it. And I went all in. You know, I'm older. I a friend of mine who lives here locally was an American Ninja Warrior. So he had a ninja, Morgan Moose Wright, the guy who wore the moose hat. He's the gym teacher down the street from me. He had a ninja gym in his backyard. So I'm over there working on my grip strength and doing static. So I was running. I was doing that, going to the gym. Pandemic came. They canceled it. Crazy thing was, is the local Southwest Florida regional physicians group was still holding a half marathon. So I went down there and ran a half marathon on no training. I signed up for a week before. I did all right. I was running 9 minute miles, but I already ran like 4 or 5 5Ks. I think I ran a 10K and at least one Savage race. You went from a 5K to the Brooklyn half marathon in May of 2020. Actually, no, 2023, May 20th of 2023.
Yeah.
And let's look at these stats. Once again, they're already 20. You got a very consistent pace. You're 7:26 pace. You finished at 137:19. Now this was a half marathon. There was a lot more people. 13,596. You finished 2,293. But in men, 20, you're 429 out of 2,100 people in your age group. So you're still finishing, you know, top quarter. And that's only your second race. How did you train for that?
Just basically trying to improve my time in terms of endurance, because what you will notice is like your muscles will fail before your cardiovascular health. Mm-hmm. Like you will get like ankle pains or knee pains or hamstring pains and things like that before you're like fully out of breath, where you like, damn, I can't breathe, like I have to stop. So I basically was just trying to get in as much hills. I was trying to get in as much like speed work as possible, just trying to strengthen my legs as much as possible, because I noticed that was one of my weaknesses, where it's like my legs really can't really go the distance, like they break down.
Well, one of the things you pointed out twice, and it's so important, and I didn't really learn about it until my second Savage race, because I'm doing these Savage races, I'm like, why are my hands cramped? Now, Savage races, you know, they're 7 mile trail races, but they got the walls, and a lot of monkey bars, a lot of grip strength, and I'm like, my hands are like seizing up. I'm like, what the hell is up? My hands seizing up? So before my second, no, I think this is actually before my third race, I started looking into it, and it's lactic acid buildup. And it was because, as you were saying, with your cramps and your ankles and your calves, when people start running, they don't think about nutrition. They don't think about, as you were saying, how much I'm sweating. You're supposed to refuel about every half hour. And a lot of people don't consider this. They don't consume high amounts of hydration before the race, right? They might walk around with a Gatorade and just, I'll get it to the first water station. Well, by then, your lactic acid's building up. And what I found out is hydration, pre-race hydration is huge. You got to get that pre-race hydration, which I get it. If I pre-race hydrate, I got to urinate. Well, deal with that. That's part of running, you know?
it's part of it, right?
So pre-race hydrate, pre-race gel, you know, getting up, drinking a coffee, eating a bagel, and then heading down the race, unless you're doing a 5K, is not going to cut it. It is tremendous to get your nutrition. And it took me you know, I already ran all these 5Ks, but, you know, 3 miles, my nightly run, even before I took a year off because of injury, I'm sure you're the same way. If you have an addictive personality, my nightly runs are 3 miles. If a short night for me is a mile and a half, if I'm like, I work 12 hours, I'm beat up, I never run less than a mile and a half. And so running 5Ks is just, to me, running a 5K race, a registered one, is just a reason subconsciously to justify all the 5Ks I ran through the week. You know, it's like, this is fun. Let's see how I rank amongst people.
Right.
But so when you first get into it, you don't ever consider hydration, because unless you actually look for nutrition and running, it doesn't come up a lot in people's get the first time runner videos. They usually talk about shoes, maybe recovery, and not going out too fast. They very rarely talk about the things we just mentioned.
Literally, all I was thinking about was whatever my coach puts on paper, that's all I got to do, and I'm going to be all right. That's all I was thinking about. I was like, if I run, if he say run 10 miles today, and I run the 10, and I feel okay after, that's all I got to do, and now I'll be fine. But it's so much deeper. It's so much more than that.
So Shaq and I are going to give you all a hint. There's plenty of ways to do this, but the affordable way I found out to do it was through somebody else's TikTok, somebody I've had on the show who's ran multiple Ironmans, and that is the Gatorade sweat patch. If you guys don't know that is, Google Gatorade sweat patch. I think they're on sale for like $7 a piece. You order one or two of them before you run. You don't have to. I'm kind of first one I did fell off, so the second one I shaved a little spot on my forearm to get the hair off there. You put it on your forearm before you go running. You wait 20 minutes and get a nice stick, and then you go run. I think they say the max amount of time is maybe an hour, 2 hours. You have to read the instructions. But what it does, it's almost like a pH strip, but they made it all cool in design. And as you run, there's two little holes on the back. It almost looks like a snake bite. And your sweat goes through those holes, and they work their way around. And when it's done, because it makes this little diagram, almost like a rudimentary Corgi code almost, when you're done, you take a picture with the Gatorade app, and it'll tell you how much you're sweating. Well, first and foremost, you have to track. And perfect way of doing this, Shaq has one, I have one. Get a hydration vest or get water bottles that have the measurements on it, because part of the sweat test, they want to know how old you are, what was the weather, what was the temperature, and how much liquids did you consume. And so you put all this in there, and it'll calculate, and it'll tell you, okay, you're sweating X amount during this time, and you need to consume this much water during this many runs. And so you can start looking into this, and you can figure out, well, if I'm sweating out this much liquid, I need to maintain this much liquid. And another important thing people don't talk about, salt sticks. If you're running in Florida, California, hot-ass New York, do not underestimate the value of a salt stick. It'll help keep that liquid in you. And even if you're just wanting to, you guys are hardcore, you guys are running 7-minute miles. Trust me, I'm 46. I ain't running 7-minute miles anymore. But regardless of how slow you're running, you don't want to feel like shit after your run. And the reason you feel like shit after you run is you're dehydrated and your nutrition is through the floor. And so if you want, running hurts. We all know this. But if you want to minimize the hurt and minimize the hangover, if you will, you do that through nutrition and hydration and salt.
Right. I just want to add that one part of the recovery, too, it's making sure you're not depleting yourself totally during these runs, because that's part of it, too. Like, if you go on a little 4-mile run, 5-mile run, you should be taking some type of sodium, some type of salt, some type of electrolytes. That way, when you're done with the run, you're not fully depleted. Your body's like, oh, we ran for a run, but we're fine. We're not dehydrated. So that helps with recovery too.
Yeah, when you get done the run, your legs can be sore. But like, if you're going home and passing out, like you're like done, like you just felt like you just drank for 6 hours, that's because your nutrition's off balance, and you really need to focus on
for
that.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you though, when did you realize like nutrition was important for you?
Like I said, it was like when I do all this training, and I'd go out and run 3 miles, I'd do push-ups. The other thing about running, and even if you're doing OCR, you have to accept the fact that people are going to think you're effing crazy, and you just have to not care. If you care what people think about you, that running is not for you. My daughter was like, hey, I want to go. We went running last night. I did a mile with her, then I went out and did another 5. And it's 8:30 at night. She comes out wearing all black. I'm like, no kid.